If you've been sitting on a business idea, Shopify is the place where you can actually make it real. The thing I like about Shopify is it takes the scary part out of starting. You're not just sitting there trying to figure out a website, payments, checkout, inventory, all these little things that stop people before they even launch. When I think about building a storefront, the biggest thing is friction. You want someone to land on your page, like what you're selling, and be able to buy without getting stuck. That's where Shopify is huge. Shopify Checkout is built to help more customers finish their purchase. And when they come back, their details are already saved. One tap and they're done. The cool part is Shopify powers millions of businesses worldwide, from huge brands that you know, like Mattel and Gymshark, to small businesses just getting started. So whether you're building the next big brand or launching your first product, the infrastructure is already there. Once that part is handled, you can focus on the real work, building the brand, getting attention, and bringing people to your storefront so the business can grow. That moment when someone actually buys, that's when the idea becomes real. With Shopify, nothing stands between your idea and a real business, so go make it one. Start your free trial today at shopify.com/crypto101. That's a free trial at shopify.com/crypto101. Are you curious about the economic forces shaping your daily life? The Planet Money podcast from NPR makes sense of the economy in ways you'll actually understand and enjoy. Guys, you love listening to the rundowns. I get some of that information from this NPR Planet Money podcast, especially recently with the war going on, the Strait of Hormuz. You're just kind of getting those updates as they come from these guys. They put out a ton of awesome content. It's a different perspective from Crypto 101, but still a great listen. So go over there and check out the Planet Money podcast if stuff like current events and the finance world interest you. Each story on Planet Money starts with a question. Recent episodes ask why Pokemon cards are growing faster than your retirement account. Questions about the war, just like we talked about recently a lot on our program, from the job market to the stock market to prices at the supermarket. Planet Money explains it all. Planet Money is a different kind of world where the complex economy somehow makes sense, where human stories supersede abstract theories so you can learn, laugh, and be entertained. It's econ, but just down to earth. The hosts go to unusual lengths to explain the economy. They've published their own book to track the global supply chain. They've shot a satellite into space to understand the economics of the private space industry. They've gone inside a live book auction to show how ideas get to market. It's the kind of show where you learn something, probably laugh, and walk away seeing the world a little differently. And I think if you like Crypto 101, you'll enjoy Planet Money. So maybe check that out. Follow NPR's Planet Money podcast and understand how money shapes the world. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Crypto Rundown. The Robinhood chain continues to explode. $700 million in assets in only 3 weeks. There's Phantom Wallet integration. Meme coins are flying. And now Vlad, the CEO's X account has been hacked, triggering $30 million in volume on a specific scam coin. Underneath all the chaos, Bitcoin ETFs are still running hot. Long-term holders are stacking harder than ever. So is this just another meme coin casino? Is crypto going to float away once again? Or is this real momentum that we can build behind? I'm here with Brian. We're going to kick it off right away. Brian, welcome. Happy Friday, my friend. The Robinhood chain continues to take the narrative, all the momentum. It's really the fun, positive news in the space. Looking around, obviously, Bitcoin ETF, we'll get to that. Clarity Act, we're going to get to that as well. But let's jump right into the Robinhood chain. It's what the people are talking about. It's what the people are trading. So take us through it. I mean, an unbelievable run for this Robinhood chain.
Yeah, man, we needed this. I needed this Robinhood chain because as everyone knows, we're kind of in the dog days of summer right now with the crypto market. We're getting back and forth between the Iran and Iraq stuff. Who knows what's going on out there? Nobody does. But Robinhood chain has really been absolutely on fire. So we're about 3 weeks post mainnet TiVo, and we're sitting at like a $760 million total on-chain assets, which is huge. We got a lot of big players out there. Morphos directly into the main Robinhood app with Robinhood Earn. We had on July the 21st, Robinhood actually flipped a base with daily active users and then hit a record with TVL. And just early volume, though, has really been heavily meme coin driven. But there is something that we'll probably talk about just in a few minutes. There's this new meta coming out, which is super interesting, where you have these tokenized stocks connected with meme coins. And we know Robinhood's all about the RWA push. So people are now connecting like meme coins with tokenized stocks. But I think the big picture here is we got big numbers, the base flip. Everything's kind of inside the Robinhood app, really bringing a lot of users on. And it's just an exciting time. And a lot of the calls within our community have been Robinhood theme because that's where people are spending their time. And it's meme coins. It's it kicked off with meme coins. And we talked about that, I think, on a few rundowns ago with like the first week. And I wasn't sure how long it was going to last. And there's always a little bit of a rotation. But now it's moving into some more unique utility plays, some AI plays. And now we got this whole RWA tokenized stock connected to meme coins. So people are doing some fun, creative things. But I mean, long story short, the numbers don't lie.
Yeah, it's a great point. And just continue the integrations we mentioned at the top of the show here. Phantom Wallet is now integrated. You obviously said stuff going on with Morpho. And we've had, for anybody that hasn't listened, you just got to scroll back to last week. We put out the Robinhood podcast with their head of crypto product. So again, if you want to kind of learn more of the vision of where Robinhood's going in crypto, go back and listen to that. That's going to give you, you know, the deep dive into the ins and outs of what they're truly building. And then we're covering here on this show with our, in the trenches guys, Brian and Joe, having a lot of success kind of going in and finding the projects that are popping. Because there's a ton to talk about. When you talk about top picks of the Robinhood chain, there's plenty to go through here as I'll pull up the deck screener with you, Brian. And if you want to, you know, just tell me what to pull up on the screen, whether you want me to click something on here or whether you want me to pull up the individual names that have been flying high here.
Yeah, let's, I linked some individual coins on our sheet as well. So if you can't find it on the deck screener, but let's start with Pons, PONS. It's the number one, or at least they have about 60% market share, number one, of it's their pump.fun. So that's where you can launch coins. You can launch meme coins. Launchpad Wars, and I talked about this within our community, can get really messy. We saw it with the Pump Fun days. There was all these other different launch pads, but Pump.Fun at the end of the day rose to the top and is still around and still producing a ton of money doing buybacks. And Pons is the leader right now. So this is kind of the picks and shovels play. So if we think Robinhood chain is going to continue to thrive, if we think these meme coins or RWA tokenized stocks connected to meme coins, if we just think activity is going to keep going, I'm curious, what's the launch pad that's going to really take off? And Pons is, I mean, what's it sitting at? Like $30 million market cap right now. I did make it a call. So kind of some alpha for anybody that's listening. I did make it a call this past week. I said, I thought we could get it right around like a $20 million market cap. I'm pretty sure it touched there. I did give a disclosure, like the launch pad wars, like everyone kind of starts a launch pad, it feels like, because they want that money. I mean, they're making right now $100 million in volume per day. That's in volume. So it's lucrative. All eyes are on it. But Pons had a nice little rebound here. As you can see, it looks like a little cup and handle forming. So it is one that I just the other day, I think it was yesterday, actually, I started to dollar cost average in on and started to build a little bit of a position. I'm not married to it, though. I'm going to tell everyone here now, if a new launch pad, we got BankerBot, which is a launch pad on Base. They're starting to roll out some features, so they're taking some market share away. But I'm watching closely, kind of the picks and shovels, what's happening here. And Pons is the leader right now. So long story short, Pons, $100 million a day, 60% market share, got some good mechanics. And they're the leading market launch pad on Robinhood chain. But again, got to give the disclosure that launch pad wars can get messy. Somebody can always do something, but you know, they're leading the race right now. And it's only 30 million market cap. It doesn't feel horrible by any means.
Yeah, nice little bouncing off support. As you said, you made a nice little call there around 19.5. It looks like it hit back up to the 30s. And yeah, a little range here for, again, a very volatile, you know, lower market cap asset. So you got to be careful. You got to do your research and understand what you're getting into with these, as of all your investments. Because, again, we're not personal financial advisors. We can't give personal financial advice, but a lot of awesome stuff to be learning and breaking down as we continue on. We got Bandit's here. Good to see Bandit in the chat. Kevin's here from Florida. Good to see him in the chat. How's everybody doing on a Friday? Give this a like. Let us know where you're watching from. We always love to get, know where you guys are tuning in from, especially on a crypto Friday as we move along to another Robinhood top pick of what's going on. Wood, Sherwood Protocol at $17.4 million market cap, Brian. Any insight into why that's so popular and what is Sherwood?
A couple of hockey guys.
It's the our old Twigs back in the day, the old Sherwoods.
No one could beat that coffee curve, you know.
The PM7 coffee curve. Hold on. You keep going. I might be able to pull a Paul Coffee stick in the corner live.
I got one up here on the wall, to be completely honest with you. So we're a little feather balanced. But obviously, TiVo is a big hockey fan, everybody. But maybe he's not. Oh, yeah. Look at him right here.
Just delivering.
That looks like a little heel curve, man. He's got saucy hands. I've slick hands. I've shot some pucks with TiVo in the past, and I was like, you move it pretty good. But, we're hockey guys, so we naturally default to Sherwood hockey sticks. But sounds like you're not watching enough Kevin Costner or Robin Hood or anything, because it's Sherwood Forest, my friend. That's where it's coming. But it's the reason I want to bring this up, I actually think this was a call just a couple weeks ago as well. These are just some that are top of mind for me. It's an AI agentic capital layer, so it's an AI play on Robinhood. It lets AI agents run vault funds with guardians and governance. It's really just a pure agentic finance play, and I think the name is super clever. You can see there's a little bit of a sell-off, but we're finding some support here. And I think where we made the call, it's actually done pretty well. People, if you sold at the top, they made some profit. But certainly, I'm big into the AI space. I don't think every AI token is going to just absolutely go to the moon, and it can obviously get washed out. But it's certainly an interesting one out there that I just want to call out and just bring up to everyone. And we should bring up Cash Cat, TiVo. The reason I bring up Cash Cat is this sucker, man, this went up to like hundreds of millions of dollars of a market cap, and it's getting washed out a little bit. I don't have any position in Cash Cat, but this is just a pure meme coin. So I felt like we need to address this on the rundown, because you can see how fast things can fall. I mean, it runs so freaking hard, and then meme coins are slowly getting a little bit of a rotation, or just the attention's getting washed out. But this is still kind of like the leading meme coin on the platform. Catching a bull run, getting more activity into the Robinhood, some sort of catalyst. This is probably the meme coin to just have on your watch list, to have a little bit of a pulse on where meme coins are. But right now, I've kind of pivoted, and I love meme coins. So if you're in our community, I'm not going to stop talking about meme coins, because there's always some really nice potential there. But we're seeing this interesting rotation into other tokens. And bring up Index, if you don't mind. This is interesting. This Index is one where you hold the token, and every trade takes a 3% fee of ETH. And that ETH automatically buys a basket of Robinhood stocks. NVIDIA, Apple, SpaceX. And those stocks then get airdropped into the wallet where you hold the Index token. So it's kind of like a meme coin, but utility play, and Robinhood's known for RWAs. So I think it's a very interesting, I don't know which one's going to be the market leader, but Index is, has an interesting product out there. And I even linked on the sheet Stonk Broker. Instead of Stock Broker, we got to talk about Stonk Broker. And this is very interesting as well. It's very similar to Index, but you can buy and trade the token, and that's probably the easiest way to do it. You buy, you hold, you sell the token, but then you can also buy the NFT, and I link the NFT on you can buy, and they're not cheap. I can't really see on it, they're like over an ETH, right? So they're over $2,000.
You know what slows teams down more than anything? It's not always headcount, budget, or even the tools themselves. It's when the way work gets done lives in someone's head and never actually gets documented. Then someone new joins, a new platform gets rolled out, or a teammate leaves and suddenly everyone's doing the same process in a different way. That's exactly the problem today's sponsor, Scribe, was built to solve. Scribe is a workflow AI platform that captures any workflow in real time and turns it into a step-by-step documentation automatically. You just turn on the extension, do the process like you normally would, and Scribe builds the guide as you go, capturing every click, step, and screenshot. And it's already trusted by over 80,000 enterprises, including nearly half of the Fortune 500. With our team being remote, I have definitely had moments where I've had to explain the same setup or process more than once to a colleague, and it always feels like something that should have been documented the first time. With Scribe, what could take hours of writing, screenshots, and cleanup can be ready to share in under a minute. Scribe also automatically redacts sensitive information like names, emails, and account numbers from screenshots. Admins can enforce that across the team so nothing slips through the cracks. Plus, anyone following the process can get real-time on-screen guidance showing exactly where to click inside the actual tool. And Scribe doesn't just document workflows. It uses AI to suggest ways to improve them, helping you spot redundant steps, bottlenecks, and places to simplify. To book a personalized enterprise demo, visit scribe.how/crypto101. That's scribe.how/crypto101. One thing I love about summer is everything's just getting easier. You're outside more, you're taking vacations, and it's the time where you're really not trying to overthink every outfit. You just want stuff that feels good, works, and sometimes is a little cool. That's why I keep coming back to Quince. They make those pieces that you end up just wearing all season. For me, it's the 100% European linen shirt and the matching linen pants. That has become one of my go-to beach vacation outfits. I've gotten so many compliments on it. It's breathable. It's comfortable. It looks put together, but it still feels relaxed. You can literally wear this thing going to the beach all day, walking by the water for a sunset, and then head straight to dinner later, feeling completely comfortable and looking fast. Fashionable. And that's really what Quince does well. Their 100% European linen pants and shirts are easy to wear, perfect for summer, and the price is unbelievable. And they start at literally just $34. They also have soft tees you can wear all day, plus lightweight cotton sweaters that are perfect for when the temperature drops a little at night. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middleman, so you're paying for exceptional quality, not the brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become one of those brands people trust for home, travel, and everyday essentials too. You've heard me talk about their website before. It's super fun to scroll around. They literally have everything. So make your summer wardrobe easier. Go to quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/crypto101.
Yeah, 1.24, 1.30, 1.33. Oh, wow, 2, 2.5. Yeah. Let's keep going down.
So they're moving NFTs. You hold these NFTs and you earn airdrops with real stock tokens funded by the royalties and ecosystem activities. So it's a direct RWA stoke and talk yield play. Just interesting to me. Something I've also been watching. I think probably the easiest way to get involved if you're interested in this. Again, these are kind of like meme coin type moves. So I want everyone to realize that.
Sorry, the floor price here. Floor price 1.24, and then people are listing them for up to, this is ridiculous, 4,000, but 14, 13 is the high end. Floor price right now at 1.24.
Yeah, but you know, here's a little alpha. If anybody wants to grind, and I messaged Joe this yesterday. Well, I don't know. I might be grinding. I've been pretty busy with some work stuff recently, but once I get some time, probably this weekend, you can actually, I believe you can input the NFT ID. Some people are listing these NFTs with stocks they haven't like withdrawn yet. So there's actually like NVIDIA and Apple stocks connected to some of these that NFTs. So maybe it's a 1 or 1.5 ETH, but you're getting a ton of money in stocks. So something I'm going to look a little bit into. But the reason I'm kind of bringing all these up is I'm just building a picture of how people are getting unique. They're bringing excitement back to this chain. It's a lot of retail users. It's just exciting. And I guess there's a couple other projects I want to talk about. I haven't made these as a call. But if anybody in the chat wants to talk about it or if they're familiar with it, and I know you've been on the road, my guy, so maybe you heard more about this. There's Jimothy. Have you heard about this raccoon?
I'm behind on Jimothy, the fat, fun raccoon. Short spine, big heart, Jimothy.
It is. I'm pretty sure I linked an article in our thing. He's like getting into like video games, like Minecraft. I'm like asking my kids, do you know who Jimothy is? They're like, oh yeah, that raccoon in the game. I'm like, where were you a week ago? I did not get into this. This is a meme coin, but it's got like the Moondang type vibes and punch the monkey. Do I think it's going to be the future of finance? I do not. But I also think like when you start getting integrated into video games, we see some red candles down.
He's made it's it on into my the Sims. The Sims look like protect Jimothy at all costs.
Dude, it was a friend of mine said that it was on the radio. He was just talking about it. So I don't know. I don't know how big Jimothy is. It hasn't came across, I guess, like other than my crypto friends that know who it is. It hasn't come into my real life yet. But hey, if you know a little bit about Jimothy, you start hearing Jimothy. You put a message in our YouTube video. You TiVo, you text me or something because I'm definitely interested. It's a $20 million market cap. So you could argue, do I want to spend money on possibly the leading launch pad at 30 million pawns? Or do I want to like ape into a Jimothy that's, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I mean, I kind of like them both. But this just goes to show you there's a very diverse showing of everything that's going on. So, you know, there's some good ones out there. And then, I put FWA on here. Click FWA if you don't mind. We'll bring up a chart. This is another one that incorporates NFTs. It's called Fake World Assets. And I wanted to make this a call on this, our past newsletter. I think I have it linked on our sheet if you're curious. And Joe and I were looking at this at like $2 million market cap. But the only problem is you can't buy the token. I was like, we can't give a call out where you can't buy the token. Or it's not easy-ish to buy the token. But this is a unique mechanism where, you know, the gacha, the cards where you could pay money and you $250 and you get a Pokemon gacha pack and you could rip the cards, you could sell the cards on the open market. That cards token did really well. Well, this is Fake World Assets. They're essentially doing it with NFTs. It's the guy who created TokenWorks, Punk Strategy. And you go on their website and you could buy essentially packs where you can open an NFT and you have the option to keep the NFT. And there was like a CryptoPunk that was like someone won. That's a long story too. I won't get too into the weeds, but there's like a Beeple floating around there. Then there's just a lot of like these 10,000 TTTs that are pretty worthless. But some of these NFTs are going up in price. People are pulling NFTs, but you have the option to keep the NFT or take the ETH that is backed behind the NFT. And if you do this, you're able to swap it in for the FWA token. So it's like a really low float. The only way you can get access to this token is to go onto their platform and utilize the platform to get the FWA token. They're saying that within probably 10 days now, in about 10 days, that this will be on the open market. So again, it's just something for everybody. You know, if you're interested in this sort of thing, I would say, hey, put it on the watch list. It had a nice run up. From, you know, a couple million to about $12 million. And then some people have been selling out, but hanging out around $8 million. But the team is obviously doing some unique things out there. They're having some fun with it. And it just goes to show you that, you know, we're moving into a very interesting world with this Robinhood chain. And one thing that I think super interesting are these meme coins that are attached to tokenized stocks. And there's other ones that I didn't even put on the list. I could go on and on. I could spend an hour on our rundown talking about different plays and different ones. But there's like AI in you that's paired with NVIDIA. There's stocks paired with SpaceX. So they're really incorporating meme coins into tokenized stocks. And we'll see how long this meta lasts. But nobody's done it and people seem to like it.
Fair point. And that's why, you know, that's why people want to be in the community. So if you're interested in all these deep dives and getting the first alerts around this stuff with Brian and Joe, check out the description. We have the $1 trial for Momentum Moneymakers VIP, which is Brian and Joe's group. So you can get the first alerts to this stuff in your email box and tune in and be in step with Brian and Joe as all this stuff unravels. Because, again, when you get this type of action, it happens so, so fast. So we got Holy Whales in. Arthur wants to talk the Clarity Act. We'll get to that. We got ABNRGR. Welcome, friend. XRP. Oh, we got an XRP here in the chat, as always. Love the XRP army. As we continue on, let's hit, I guess, do we want to talk about one more thing? We'll talk about Vlad getting hacked, and then we'll move on to the rest of the topics.
Yeah, I put this on there because someone hacked Vlad's X last night. So just be careful out there. And it pretty quickly, everyone realized that Vlad's Twitter got hacked because they've changed his PFP to him wearing like a Robin Hood hat. And they started touting something called Vlad Hood. But it did $30 million in volume after it was hacked. The hacker made like $1 million. People are trying to CTO this. It's a community takeover. So obviously it was a hack. I'm not in this. I'm not recommending anybody get in this. But it just goes to show you that stuff can happen on Twitter. You can't just ape into things. You got to be very careful because there was $30 million of a token that called Vladhood that where Vlad was hacked. And I don't know. Just had to call it out for everyone because there's a pretty big news cycle going out there. Now, does this get community takeover and starts to grind up? We'll see. We might talk about it on the next rundown. But right now, I'm staying away. But just be careful out there because there's a lot of bad actors and they like to prey on new chains and excitement. And something I try to do as much due diligence as I can for myself and our community. And sometimes you miss something or you get very excited. I mean, it's tough, but we try to do our best to keep everyone safe and ourselves safe.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's all about the education and community that helps you decipher and add to your research to make your own decisions, as always. Let's pull up CoinMarketCap. Interesting. I always find it, if we just first, I guess, hit fear and greed real quick. It's like we've been in fear now. We've been extreme fear or fear for a month now. And I just find it, I guess interesting is the right word, that you have a Robin Hood chain blow up, a glow up, if you will, during a fear, a crypto fear and greed index. So, you know, it shows you that, in my opinion, that this stuff isn't going away, right? People like the space. People like interacting with the space. We've talked and covered how, you know, again, there's excitement in other places right now, especially in the memory trade. There's a ton of volatility going both ways. You know, some of the corrections in those stocks have been 20, 30, 40, 50. We've seen even 60, 70% corrections in some of these high flying stocks. So there's tons of volatility going on in the market and crypto kind of got tossed to the side. But when you see extreme fear or fear for a month long, but you also see the continuation of building, we're going to talk about all the Fortune 500 companies that are still working in the space, and you see something like the Robinhood chain pop up, it's a step back moment for me and say, okay, this space still's got the juice. People are still interested in this. Anything to add there, Brian, whether it's the fear greed or I'll pull up CoinMarketCap and you can just kind of see like the 7 day for the top 20 is up 1%, Bitcoin 1.5% for the 7 day, Ethereum 2.5. That's, you know, that's grinded out price action to the upside. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah. I'm neutral right now, I should say, because, you know, we got this whole like Iran US you know, war overhang. We got Trump's, I mean, who knows, like it's Friday afternoon, markets closed, we could have a strike on Iran. I mean, that seems like the playbook Trump's done a few times. We got like rumors of Fed rate hikes, so that would typically drag us down. So I think that's kind of why we're seeing a pullback down. But then when you call it out, we're kind of like going sideways right now. We're looking pretty good. We had some good ETF inflows over the past week. The overall market vibe of just like the pulse I have of people in and out of it seems to be a little bit more positive. But, you know, it's the middle of July right now. I still think that we're going to be in the chop zone for some time. I've been saying chop zone for like a year now, but it's true. I do personally think I mean, not financial advice, I can't see the future, but I think things really start to pick up come like October. I'm pretty excited for that. I think that's going to be like people are back. It's a positive month. July is typically a pretty green month for crypto as well, surprisingly. You wouldn't think it is. And then August is a pretty red month. So if we're, you know, history is not, doesn't always repeat itself, but we'll see how it all shakes out here. But that's kind of my two cents on like where we're going. We're probably just going sideways, but I think it's a, I think the opportunity for reward and upside is way bigger than where the downside could be. I mean, we've seen everything this year, wars, tariffs, hacks. I mean, we've seen it all, and we're kind of just shrugging it all off and going sideways.
Yeah, and again, the markets a lot of times are forward lean, you know, leading, right? So, you know, there's a vast quick downside, especially to crypto and Bitcoin, it seems, since last October, right? Pretty momentous to the downside. And then you're kind of looking around like, why is this happening? And then you see, you know, again, it's like, is Bitcoin telling the future? You know, it kind of felt bad when, you know, you saw the other stocks and the memory trade going higher, but now everything's kind of cooling off. So, you know, what did Bitcoin know, kind of leading us to where we are now? Like you said, all this stuff going around, and it seems like we're holding these levels or even slowly grinding higher at some points. It's interesting. And I know a lot of our technical guys, Brendan, Hunter, Bryce, they're getting excited and like what they're seeing in the charts, even though there's not, you know, flashy price action to the upside. I'm hearing them really talk positively about the constructive views that they're seeing on the charts. Again, not that it's going to overnight go back to 100, but like you said, heading towards the fall, looking towards the future, and something that I'll cover at the end of the show, of just the continuation of people building in the space, being in the space. Bryce and I were at a conference this week that I'll cover at the end of the show. It feels good. It feels good when you see that stuff. People aren't running. They're leaning into it. They're leaning into it. And especially on the institutional level, whereas the retail level is completely disengaged. And you can see that with charts like these. I just saw this before we went on. So the source here is the block. So this is not our research, but the source is the block. And Bitcoin and Ethereum tweet volume level falls to a 12-month low, which I find to not necessarily surprising, obviously, with the price action and there's so much else going on. But like Robinhood chain's booming. Like I just find that interesting. It's not leading people back to a little bit more talk about crypto. You have the Clarity Act going on, which we find really interesting, obviously, and big for the space as a whole, but it's not drawing the interest of the general public. Again, this is what happens in these cycles, is everybody comes in late and they get burned, and then they go, I'm not doing that again. And they just, you know, they sell their, they got weak hands, they get out, and then, you know, that it's boring, and it's a wear you out. It's a bore you out is the next step, which we're, again, I feel like we're in right now. I don't want to say it's good to see people disengaged, but like if you have a checkbox, Brian, of like, okay, what are all the things that are going to show us, you know, the markings of a bottom? Because no one in the history of trading can ever tell you that they guarantee they know where the bottom is. If they tell you that, they're lying. But you want to have kind of a, you know, your own rules or the own things that you're looking for, and you're going to start checking multiple boxes, kind of like when you're at the top. When people who never asked you about crypto or Bitcoin before start asking you if they should buy, that's, you know, when my mom starts calling me and asks me if she should buy Bitcoin, that's, you know, that's a top signal. And now it's kind of on the other side. Everybody's asking, you know, nobody wants to talk about it, or they're making fun of you for being in the space. So that's a checkbox. We got the tweets. That's a checkbox. We got the fear, greed, being extreme fear. That's a checkbox. So it feels like we're building our case, which again takes time. It doesn't happen in a day, a week, or sometimes even a month. It takes time to build these cases, and you really don't know until you look backwards in the charts historically. But Brian, what do you think about that, building this case for a possible bottom?
Yeah, I mean, you said, just remember who is coming every single week, multiple times a week in a bear market to deliver you the news, because we're freaking believers, man. And everybody in the chat and everybody in our community, hats off to you, because I think it's going to really pay off. We've seen this play out before, and we don't want to be on the same side as retail typically. You're right. Your mom, my dad is the biggest top signal that's ever lived. I mean, this is like when he's starting to talk to me about how he buys or more crypto on Coinbase. I push him to our tutorials, but he just wants me to go on FaceTime with him. But when I help him, it's a top signal. So you don't want to be on the same side. And it's been a grind. I get it, when there's volatility and the prices are down and nobody really wants to talk about it. it's probably a pretty good time to start, you know, building the bags a little bit, because it usually starts to grind in a right way. And then we get excited too when we're all celebrating, doing happy hour calls with everybody on the team because we're celebrating these milestones. We might want to take a little bit of profit there. Not sell everything, but, you know, there's some things. So right now, I feel pretty good about where we're sitting. I love when the technical guys, Brendan, Hunter, Bryce, I mean, everybody knows how sharp these guys are. They're unbelievable. And when their technical analysis kind of lines up with, like, my fundamentals and kind of the vibe I'm seeing and all the different markets I'm in, I start to get pretty bullish about it. And you mentioned the tweet volume about, but I am kind of surprised because Robinhood's brought a lot of energy into the space, or at least into my circles. And we have earnings call next week, Hood earnings. The call is on the 29th. And I think I looked at it today. It's like in the 90s. I mean, not financial advice, but I don't know. I feel like it could be a decent little stock play there to get into the Hood stock, because you have to think Vlad's going to tout these growth numbers. They have to be insane right now with all the activity they're getting right now. Now, I know he just got hacked yesterday. That doesn't help things too much. But I think on the 29th, when we get this earnings call, it could be really positive for Robinhood and Hood and continue to drive interest. But to kind of put a bow on it, I think we're on the right side right now. I think this is where we want to be, the contrarian take. And I'm a contrarian at heart.
Heard here first, contrarian heart. You know, I always say same side of the boat. You don't always want to be on the same side of boat. And this is definitely a statistic that shows that, you know, maybe this is the smart money. Maybe historically we'll look back in the 50s and 60s and say the smart money bought. But we're seeing Bitcoin, inflows. The Bitcoin ETFs record longest inflow streak since early May. So we'll pull up the charts there. Obviously, we saw a lot of outflows recently, but maybe we're turning this franchise around, Brian, as the people like to say. And then long-term holder supply is changing around. So again, you're adding to the data of the stuff that you like to see when you're saying, hey, where's the momentum of this thing going for the next 6 to 8 to 9 a year plus? You know, this is the type of data you want to be seeing if you think the price is going to go upwards. Again, none of this is guaranteeing, but it's adding to the checkboxes of what you're trying to look for to build your bullish thesis or confirm it, especially for long term. Now, one thing that has been talked about a lot, and it's getting to the witching hour, obviously, with recess coming for Congress, is the Clarity Act. I know Arthur asked about the Clarity Act in the chat. It is time to get there. The great Habish is here as well. Holy Whales checked in. Good to see everybody. If everybody could give it a thumbs up, we would really appreciate it on this Friday afternoon. Give the video a thumbs up. If you're new, bottom right, hit our logo on the screen and subscribe. We have a video clip here. Anthony Scaramucci had a nice little clip on CNBC the other day. Anthony Scaramucci, had a lobster roll with the Mooch at the conference. He was at our conference with Bryce and I this week. He gave a good talk. Talked very similar. I picked this clip because this is what his talk was about that we were at this week up in the North Fork of Long Island. So it's a 2-minute clip. I'm going to play about a minute of it, basically laying out the thesis of why he thinks the Clarity Act can pass. But also kind of gives the timeline of saying, hey, we're up against the gun here. So let's take a look to the Mooch.
Has teeth in it. And so there's a thing is the Democrats said to the White House, we need an ethics provision that has teeth in it. And so they said, what do you want? And they said what they wanted, and the White House gave it to them. And now the Democrats are saying, well, that's not enough. We want state AGs to be able to enforce these federal ethics provisions. So that's a real problem, because then you have to redo all of the ethics codes in the federal government, because you can't have the state just prosecuting the crypto and not all the other ethical potential violations in the federal code. So they've got to get around that, and they've got to have a compromise. But then the biggest problem is the procedural one. You only have 14 days to go before the August recess. So you need what's called the procedural prep for a bill like this to happen before the weekend. Today's Wednesday. That means sometime tomorrow afternoon, we're going to have to hear that that's in play so they can get it down to the floor to vote. If it gets to the floor, it's going to pass. That's my opinion, because I think a lot of the younger Democrats are not going to want to go up against the crypto bros and their PACs come November. That's my opinion. If it doesn't get to the floor, it dies a brutal death. And then guys like Brian Armstrong, after all the hours and time and energy that they put into this, they start building their businesses off the shore of the United States.
I love listening to Mooch there because he has that experience of being in D.C., right? So obviously he has his fund, Skybridge, but he has the experience and the knowledge and the connections inside D.C. So he kind of gave you two looks there of like his hedge fund view of why, you know, he wants it to pass. He thinks it can pass, but he gave you the breakdown from his D.C. knowledge of like, hey, here's the two outcomes. And you know, it's going to go one of these two ways. And then at the end there was a lot of clips of Brian Armstrong this week down in D.C. talking about how this needs to get passed, and his own example with Coinbase being, if this doesn't pass, I got to start, you know, outsourcing this stuff to out of the country. Thus, you know, less jobs inside the country, less GDP. And I think a lot of companies would probably follow suit because they want to, you know, just avoid the legality of not running their business properly inside the United States, leaving them open for prosecution.
I have to laugh because the great abuse, but all I hear is watch out for those crypto bros. I don't know, that like gave me a sincere chuckle while you were talking. I the Clarity Act's sticky right now, man. I mean, we have August the 7th. Earlier this week, we're getting a lot of positive news about like the ethics provision was being agreed upon, or it looked positive. I don't even know what to believe anymore. Then John Thune, the Senator Majority Leader, basically said, I think yesterday, that he doesn't think it's going to get done before the summer recess, which I think is a key date. I'm not sure what I who knows, man. Maybe these guys are juicing the Polymarket books and they know it's going to the Senate floor. I think once it gets to the floor, it's going to pass. I believe very strongly that the Clarity Act is going to get done eventually. I'm just really unsure of the timeline. And I think it's a huge step because it was just a few years ago when we were talking like the United States wanted to ban Bitcoin and get rid of crypto and digital assets were going to zero. Now we're really putting a lot of guardrails in place. We have all these big institutional buyers and holders there. I mean, this isn't going anywhere and the Clarity Act needs to get done. I don't know if it's getting done before August the 7th. What's your thought? I'm going to say
yeah,
no.
I do have a thought. Again, back to the conference this week, as we give you little breadcrumbs for the tease at the end of the show, we sat down, I had coffee with John D'Agostino, who was who came on the podcast a couple weeks ago. He's with Coinbase. He's, I believe, head of their institutional investments is his title. And We were kind of kicking around. It was Bryce, Scott Melker, myself, and John D'Agostino. Where would you want to be in the crypto world? Just a meeting of the minds. Unbelievable. This is what you get when you tune into Crypto 101 and are part of the community. You get that type of access and feedback from when we go to these places. So John had an interesting point. He said, hey, you know, if you asked me this question 3 months ago about the Clarity Act, I would have told you, the Polymarket odds were spitting between, you know, we've pulled them up, right? 35 to 50%, mostly under 50%. I would have told you 3 months ago inside of Coinbase, you know, at the higher ups thought this was going to get done. And, you know, the general public thought it wasn't. And then for some reason last week, the odds went back to 50 and it felt like on the timeline, there was some news and all of a sudden, you know, the timeline felt like this was getting done and this was going through. And he said, but inside, you know, our doors, it was flipping the other way. They thought it wasn't. And now I just pulled it up right now. I think it's at like 30% on Polymarket. It's definitely not. I don't think there's any movement. What Scaramucci said, that clip was from yesterday or maybe 2 days ago. And he's like, we got to hear on Thursday. Yeah, so that was from Wednesday afternoon, that Scaramucci clip. And he was saying Thursday, you have to hear that they're doing the provisions to bring it to the floor. So we didn't hear that. So this isn't going to the floor. Again, I don't have a guarantee on that. But it feels like the August deadline for a floor vote is not going to happen. So this gets kicked into the fall. And then is it something that anybody wants to even touch before midterms? That's a tough point, kind of to Scaramucci's point of, you know, the young Democrats don't want to vote against this thing. They'd rather just not vote. So there's this blockade to not even get it to the floor, because if it gets to the floor, they feel like they might have to vote yes to avoid these PACs, But the main goal would be like, let's just not get this thing to the floor and we don't have to worry about it. So my official is that, yeah, this isn't going to happen. I would not. We always talk about that show where Brendan and I were on and it dipped to like 32 or 35% live on air. And I was like, I'd buy that. That was back in January. And that would have been a good buy if you wanted to trade that in and out of it. I would not buy it here at 30%. I don't see the clear path for this thing. I think it's too radioactive to even get to the floor at this point, sadly. But
yeah.
But teaser. Again, back to the conference. Bryce sat down. I'm going to pull the exact name for everybody here. Bryce sat down with Christopher Giancarlo. He's the strategic senior advisor to Potomac Global Partners, but he's more importantly the former CFTC chairman. So Bryce and I sat down with him, an amazing conversation, 30 minutes, and we've talked specifically about the Clarity Act. So you're going to want to, again, this is a promo for the podcast channel. You're going to want to subscribe. You're going to want to turn on notifications because over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be having all these interviews released. And the former CFTC chairman was talking about the Clarity Act, and he was just looking past it because he was like, listen, we just need to get past this because he believes we have the people in place at the SEC. We have the people in place at the CFTC to help set the guardrails over the next 2 years. Clarity would be great, but if it doesn't pass, he painted a great thesis of why he's still bullish, still investing, still building in the industry. So I thought I was sitting there, you know, producing this interview, really just watching as a listener. And he was making some really good points. So I thought that was really interesting. It feels like that's, you know, if this isn't going to go, you're going to just not hear about it anymore. And it's going to be a go to work moment for the people that are in the administration now, your SEC chairman, your CFTC chairman, to try to build the rules of the road for this space over the next 2 years, because the goal could be, as you I guess we're just kind of continuing on here with the show, is these companies that you see. I'll pull up the Goldman Sachs one, right? Goldman Sachs supporting Clarity, Coinbase supporting Clarity, JP Morgan building tokenized stocks. So you have a chance here to build some rules of the road with the administration officials that are already in place to possibly get to the point where tokenization, blockchain, this infrastructure could be implemented so deep into the system that in 3 years' time, let's just say the Democrats sweep, it's actually too ingrained to the system to wind. So just because the Clarity doesn't go through is not the death of the industry, was the summary. And he gave the thesis. It's really good. So it's something to be excited about, to go listen to that episode and get that information, get that thesis.
I'll be tuning in, man. I learn a lot from all the interviews you guys produce. And I think this is really interesting, the CEO of Goldman Sachs saying that, you know, we need to get moving on with the Clarity Act. So we're starting to see some people that were on one side flipping onto the other side. And I agree with that entire assessment. I think the Clarity Act will eventually get done. I think it's too baked in, but probably not before August the 7th. And I've heard that it's going to be tough in 2026 if it's not before the summer recess. But you never know, man. We really don't. And that's why we're going to report on it every single week and keep close tabs on it. But that's where we're at right now, and I feel okay because the market seems to be kind of digesting it better than I would have probably expected.
Right. Again, was the market forward-looking?
Yeah.
A great question. Yeah. That Habish in the comments says, the crypto bros are going to get a Clarity one way or another. Yes, that is the summary of what I just said in the most simplest of terms. But to build on the point of people are just continuing to build in this space. MoonPay partners with Discover. What else do we got? Amazon hiring Bitcoin and crypto ecosystem lead to drive big blockchain integration. And then I saw this one. Michael Saylor announces strategy. BlackRock, Fidelity, Coinbase are pledging upwards of $15 million to support open source Bitcoin development for the decades ahead. Again, it's just these little tidbits, the storylines that keep funneling out, that it's hard to ignore. It's hard to ignore, even though, again, the price action hasn't been that way. Just to wrap us up here, let's see, where are we at time-wise?
Really? Yeah, I just want to call out this Michael Saylor strategy, BlackRock, Fidelity, and Coinbase is $15 million to support. This is also to, like, help build up around, like, quantum and quantum resistance and all of that. It's been, like, a buzzword this year to just scare people, which we know we're close to where that's going to happen, but this is just to go to show you that this had a lot to do with it, that they're moving forward with being proactive. So that's not an issue down the line. So I actually, this is one of my favorite things I saw on the timeline today, because I think it's just, we need to see some just movement. It might be boring, but we need to see some movement by the major players out there to be proactive about Quantum and a lot of different security measures. And this is great to see. This is one of my favorite things I saw in the news, and other than, you know, Jimothy.
Yeah, you gotta love the homie Jimothy for sure. The let's wrap us up. The Audi summit. So I know I kind of teased it throughout the show, just to kind of give a full overview of what we were doing. So let's see. Bryce here, let's pull up this tweet. So we had an awesome setup. So it was the Audi Summit presented by the Thai. we love the Thai. We have a great relationship with the Thai. They had us out to Long Island. It was the North Fork of Long Island, out at a winery. It was very intimate. So, you know, long-term listeners of the show know Bryce and I did Consensus a couple years ago. We went down to Austin. I think we nailed, you know, again, it was like 20-something interviews over a couple days. And Consensus is big. Like, everybody's there. And it's huge. It's at the convention center. There's thousands of people. I remember we saw Shane from Polymarket speak before Polymarket was huge. That was really cool. And those conferences have their, you know, the things that are great about them, but they're also very big. And so you have literally, you know, anybody can buy a ticket, anybody can get in. And where it compared to this was very intimate. This was invite only. And so, Crypto 101, specifically Bryce, was invited. And Bryce tagged along me as handy producer to come go do some content. So we banged out, I think we got like 17, 18 interviews over 2 days.
That's a grind for the boys. That's a lot of chit chat.
It was a lot. And we're really excited. And, you know, we're obviously very busy with, you know, Bryce doing the fun and having the community and everything that we do day to day. But sometimes we backlog interviews and you know, you might hear something that's a, you know, 2 or 3 weeks old, you know, sometimes for the interviews, not the rundowns. That's why we do the rundowns, to keep everything fresh. But we don't want to necessarily hold these for too long because we think they're so important. So if you're somebody that likes to listen to Crypto 101 consistently, you're in luck. You're going to be getting a ton of content. And if you're somebody that's at the back end of this episode and you kind of skip around and miss some episodes, obviously I'm biased. I highly suggest over the next couple of weeks checking out our feed and doing your due diligence and listening to all of them. And if you can't listen to all of them, definitely go click through, read who they are. And pick out your favorites, because again, Franklin Templeton sent their whole entire team. We sat down with three people from Franklin Templeton. We sat down with Monad. We sat down with Falcon X. We sat down with Franklin Crypto, like I just said. Let's see, who else did we sit down with? Near. We had the Near team. I talked to you about Christopher Giancarlo, Potomac Partners, former CFTC chairman. We did Monarch Asset Management, Dragonfly, Multicoin Capital. Again, these are heavy, heavy hitters in the space. And if you're sitting there like, oh, I don't know those names, it's like, well, that's, you know, that's okay. You don't have to know those names. They're not the Coinbases, the Robinhoods, or the people out front that you know. These are the people behind the scenes. They're building, they're investing, and they're fund managers. So they're taking hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars of capital and deciding where to put it in the space. And so those people are the people building the foundation for the future of the space, because they're, you know, giving out the capital and choosing where to invest. And capital is money, capital is energy, to go and continue to build. So a lot of behind the scenes information to come of the people making decisions, but more importantly, the people making decisions of where these billions of dollars are going. And so I think that's worth listening to help build your thesis as we continue through the bear market, but push forward nonetheless into the future of crypto.
I love it. The crypto bros, man. Just moving markets.
The crypto bros are here. So really appreciate everybody tuning in. One last call. Give us a thumbs up. Bottom right, hit the subscribe button. Again, go down if you want more of Brian and Joe. We got the $1 trial there for you. Go down in the description. Check out that link if you're interested. Look forward to producing and giving you guys all this content over the next couple weeks. The YouTube and the feed is going to be super, super active. Active, dare I say, like it's never been before. The most active the feed will ever be. It's Friday. I hope you guys all have a great summer Friday, a summer weekend. We'll be back next week with a ton of interviews, like I said, plus some rundowns. We will see you all later. Enjoy the weekend. That's all for now. Bye, everybody.